Mr. Emery, Real 4. Now, you were telling me about the battle training. You said that the
haversack rations. Breakfast in the morning, which is the usual. Porridge, always porridge. And being a North Country regiment, you always have salt in their porridge, which I got used to in the event, and then we go out all day, under the hours, then with haversack rations, usually one of cheese and one of jam. You know, scraped on the jam, like, but that was your haversack rations. Go out. So this particular day, he marched us out, right, we're going to teach you infantry attack. So we marched out across, along to the River Tyne. There's a River Tyne flowing there. Lovely clear water. I remember seeing a stony bottom there, about 20 or 30 feet wide, I suppose. And the other side, there was a bank about up 20 or 30 feet. What was up above there, I don't know. So he said, now, what we're going to do, you're going to attack is an infantry section across here, across the river, double up the bank, and then attack across the field at the top. When I blow the whistle, it's an air attack, and I want to see you to go down, see? So anyway, he said, oh, so he didn't cross the river. He walked all the way down, crossed the wooden bridge, coming back the other side. Right, attack. So he starts away the river, gets in it, and crosses. You know what it's like getting in the swimming bath when it gets here, up to here. And on my left was a chap in the civil section, Vicky Sawyer, his name was, same age as me. And he's going along with his rifle out there. All of a sudden, he steps on one of these big stones and falls over, goes straight under the water, and must have let go of his rifle. It gets back up. Where's your rifle, Sawyer? I dropped it. Oh, he's laid off. He said, don't forget, when you see the Germans, it's no good calling for your mother. Your rifle's your man's best friend, all this business. So anyway, Vicky Sawyer picks his rifle up, gets across this river, doubles up this bank, and on the top, it was a great big cloud field, so all mud and whatnot, us and corporate charging across there, and he blows, no picking out dry spots, when I blow the whistle, I want to see you, and down we go there, and all that sort of business. But going back to Vicky Sawyer, now I always remember the RSM said that to him, and he hadn't been in Normandy about 5 or 6 days, and a sniper shot him in the head and killed him. So his rifle was his best friend, never done him. But I always remember he said, your rifle was your best, but he never had a chance. He got shot in the head and killed. So,
That battle training, it's quite interesting. So what other battle training did you do?
Other things like concealment and all that with a Bren gun and not leaving yourself open to observation. We joined them when they were halfway through their battle school. So we only had the after end sort of business. But he taught us, and also he used to give us a little bit of a guard's foot drill, left, right, and all that sort of business. And actually, as the drill squad in the end, we used to give little exhibitions to the when we got down to. But that's another story. So anyway, we finished the training there, and then we were going south then.
When was this?
Well, I don't know, it must have been about beginning of March. So we went by troop train from Hexham, we loaded everything up, what they had to take. And went from Hexham station by troop train. Left it at night and all down the east coast around London and finished up somewhere down Brighton. I was there, well, we were, the signal section then, these 18 other ranks were attached to RHQ because they never had any equipment. We never had any wireless sets. They were still air defence. The regiment was still air defence of Great Britain. Used to man the Beaufort sites all around the coast and all that for the tip-in run raiders. Anyway, we went down to Brighton.
And where were you based there?
We went up to Saltline for we just went up to Saltline for a lovely unoccupied house on the ground. Slept there one night. They brought us back to Hove, Langdale Road in Hove. In straight off the esplanade there with the sea, and we were up this just round the corner up this these houses, big houses. They were
so you're in billets again,
yeah. Straw polyas, the usual, on the floor. Slept on the first floor. We had two or three houses, slept on the first floor. Dining room on the ground floor. Well, one big room with a four trestle tables in, and six men to a table. So, really, as I say, the guns were employed all along Brighton in Hove.
And these were Bofors?
Bofors.
That was the gun they had.
Yeah, Bofors.
Now, had you had any training? I know you were a wiseman.
No, I never had any. If we get round, I'll come round to Bofors training with me. Later on, yeah.
So tell me about the wireless section, because it sounds a bit different. Signal section.
Signal section was a sort of 18 men with nothing else to do, sort of. We never had any equipment. So the RSM took charge of, again, as I say, Langdale Road was a long road with civilians living in, mostly women. Well, I suppose the husbands were in the service. So we were a drill squad. 18 hours up, about turn up north to the. And if you do it smart, I'll let you go away up the Naffy. It was no Naffy, but the Blue Lagoon swimming pool, about 500 yards out there. I used to do tea up there. I'll let you go. It was always last up there. But anyway, you used to do that there. But every day, Monday to Friday, used to be every morning on parade. Monday morning, I can't remember what sequence. Monday morning, say it was spare pair of boots. And then you be on parade there, and you have your spare pair of boots, make sure all the studs were in. Where's your boots? In from your pair. The quartermaster sergeant was there. Yes, you've got a pair of boots. And Tuesday morning, it was a spare pair of socks, clean and darned, because you did all your own darning, as you know. And you'd be there with a clean pair of socks. Where's your two in the laundry, sir? Yes, in the laundry, because they had to give them their duty. They knew everywhere everything it was. Wednesday, I can't think what it was. Thursday was something else. Friday mornings was CO's parade, and you go on parade then with everything blankoed, and your brasses and all things like that, and the CO would inspect you. So Friday mornings was, as I CO's parade, so I used to do orderly officer. Come round in the morning when you're having your breakfast. Any complaints? You know, and nobody say anything. Orderly officer, you all sit to attention. What are you doing? Forward, you put your knife and forward and sit to attention there. Any complaints? And this particular Friday, we used to have dry bread on, no butter on it, dry bread on the table for to go with your beans on toast or whatever it was, or tomato, or perhaps it was a scrambled egg if you were lucky. So this particular day, my pal said, yes, sir. And I could see there's a CO, the RSM, and the corporal cook all stood there. I said, what's that man's complaint there? Stand up, so what's your name? Tam's it, sir. What's your complaint? Can we have some more dry bread, sir? Not enough dry bread on the. And I could see the glowers going round. Anyway, that was that. But within a fortnight, he was posted. I don't know whether it was a coincidence, but he finished up in Tunisia with a cat regiment out there. Yeah. But Tam's it, he got rid of him, troublemaker. But every morning out there, we used to, as I say, about 8:30, it used to be a parade outside the billets and parade up and down there. But this particular morning, Bert and I was up in our he said, look at all them bits over there, and off the house across the road, great big chunks of concrete. It was a couple of ME-109s, or whatever, Fop Wolves, coming out the sun and was machine gunning. Of course, the gunners didn't see him out of the sun. He was machine gunning all these. And he dropped a bomb round the corner, knocked a house down. The only casualty was some poor old lady who was sat out there. It was a lovely weather when it was like it is now down at Hove. And she was sat outside on the seat and the blast killed her. And she was the only one, yeah. But so we got the RSM, going back to the RSM again. Saturday night, you could have the lights on to 23:59 because you didn't have to be until midnight on a Saturday. Sunday night, 22:59. So anyway, we come back and it was this. Harry Trotter, the thinnest pair of legs I ever seen. And the khaki shirts never had any collars on, and it was then just. And he had the shirt was too big as well. But anyway, we'd all been up, I'd had a couple of drinks, so we're all lying in our straw palliasse, and he's doing a Betty Grate. He could dance, he was Welsh. And he was a lovely dancer. But he was doing this Betty Grate with his shirt tails hanging out, dancing around, and it was gone 11 o'clock. And all of a sudden, the door opened, and there's the RSM. Lots of lights are on. Right. I'll see you all in the morning in my outside my office after morning prayer. So the four of us paraded down there outside the office. Lights on. Now, you can go before the CO if you wish, but it becomes a charge, or you can take my punishment. What are you going to do? I advise you to take my punishment. RSM Cowood, his name was.
Cowood,
yeah. RSM Cowood. Coldstream Guards. Ex-Coldstream Guards, anyway. And so we take you up, and he said, right, for the next 3 nights, you'll each scrub a billet out, stairs top to bottom. So I spent 3 nights scrubbing down 3 floors of stairs, and the orderly sergeant would come around and see I'd done it, yeah. Yeah, so that's what I remember from there. But as I say, RHQ, signal sessions, we used to do the telephony duties at night at RHQ.
About that. Well,
you just sit there, and any calls come in, which not went very often, like, and you just plug them through to the officer's mess.
How did it actually work? Can you explain how those things, because people don't know now, I mean...
Well, it was just a little switchboard they had there, if I remember correctly, and was it, did you switch over and ring a bell? I can't remember much about that one there. The one it's, when I was down it, when we went to our permanent camp down in Kent, I can remember that. I can't remember much about that. I think it was, we used to ring a bell, 2 rings it was so-and-so, and 3 rings somebody else would pick up, but very rarely we did, used to get a lot of questions or calls through.
Any other duties, or...?
Well, no, that was it. Fire picking. I've got to tell you about the fire picking. You used to do a fire pick with a pick elf under your arms. 3 of you. So I got picked for... This is where I learned to be an old soldier. I got picked for fire picket. The other two being... One had been a regular soldier, or he was a regular soldier, got attached. The other one had been in TNA repels. So I got stuck with the Orchard Guards. What was it? 10 to 12. No, what was it? 8 to 10. Or whatever. The 4 on and the 1 in the middle. I had to get up in the middle of the night. So they were smiling there. They'd all got, and I was up doing the parading round, and I felt hungry. They knew all. So I went where the cook kept all it, and there was shredded wheat out. I thought, Christ, shredded wheat. And 4 tins of Ideal Milk. Oh, Christ, Ideal Milk. So anyway, I done myself a couple of shredded wheats and tin of milk and emptied that, and that's it, about 2 o'clock in the morning. I never said any more about it. The one that was on 4 to 6 had to stoke the fires up for the cooks again. It's just, anyway, after the morning prayer, RSM said, I want to see last night's fire picket. So the 3 of us prayed. Last night, somebody stole the cook's shredded wheat. Who was it? So none of us owned up, not even me. And the other 2 was looking at my 2 old soldiers, never said a dicky bird. Well, it's a cook's personal property, that. You've stored a cook's personal, nothing to do with the rations, anyway. I never said, I thought, well, they worked a guard on me, and I think the other 2 didn't trust one another, being old soldiers. So he said, if I ever find out who it was, there'd be trouble. But anyway, he never found out who it was, but I had the cook's ready. We all remember that. Yeah.
So how long were you at Hove? You got there in March.
But because he moved out, so we went from Hove. Then we went to RHQ. This I'm talking now about RHQ only, because the batteries were spread out on different sites all up and down here. So we went to Rustington then, and I think it was Air Defence. They'd done Beaufort's Defence then of what's the open air Ford. Ford Aerodrome used to be a fighter bombing station.
Rustington's near Brighton, is it still?
Further on, you go Rustington, Littlehampton, and this side of, between Hove and Littlehampton is Rustington. So it's, in fact, it's all one now. You go there now. I've been there now and looked at the pubs I've used, you know. I've been back to all the places and looked.
But when did you go to Rustington?
Oh, I was in about April, I think. We were there about a month. So we were in houses there, empty. Brand new houses they were requisitions on the floor again, polyas on the sleep polyas, those straw mattresses, and the regiment was ACAT Defence, a Ford fighter bomber drone then, which was Boston's and things like that, I think. So
anything you remember happening at Rustington?
Not much about, no, I can't say Rustington, no, like, but tell you what was there, it was quite friendly with a lot of Canadian Scottish were around there then, and they'd been involved in the Dieppe business, but they were quite, we used to meet them at the pub, I can't think of the name of the pub now, we used to have snooker, but we used to go out on a Saturday night, and there was several Scotchmen in the signal section with me, and they used to get on well with the Canadian Scottish, who had relations in Scotland and all them, but we used to have good nights with them anyway, never any trouble, it was a good sing-song, the piano and whatnot else. That's all I can really remember from there. So we went from there.
There's still no wireless?
No, still no worries, no. Just done all the usual fire pickets and whatever else, in shoveling coke or coal whenever they wanted, you know, sort of business. The regiment was occupied, but we weren't. Then the signal section on its own went to Climpin.
How do you spell that? Sorry.
Well, that's nearer to Ford Aerodrome again. C-L-I-M-P-I-N-G, Climpin. It was one Nissan hut by the side of some big farmhouse. What we were doing there, I don't know, because they'd
gone there when?
The same time as RHQ were at Rustington. We got separated from them. The 18 of us went up there. We used to do all little jobs up there, route marches and things like that. No wireless equipment, no. There again, the toilets were primitive. Three little bugs squatted in the blackberry hedges there. So you go outside and use the bugs, sat amongst the blackberry hedges or a business.
Okay. What next?
Well, I went sometime during that. I got sent away up to Kingston on Thames on a week's radio wireless telegraphy course, which, as I say, waste of time as far as regimental sickness was concerned. You know, I think they must have been wasting money left, right, and centre, really. I went there for Lucas factory or something that had been taken over. Went there.
What were they trying to teach you that you didn't need?
Only speeding up your Morse code and things like that. That was all really.
It was just Morse?
Yeah, Morse and, a bit of wireless procedure and things like that. Nothing new that I could remember. Nothing ever stuck in my mind. It didn't change my way of life after I went there. It was a dollar for them that was on the permanent staff there. They lived well, you know, and all things like that. One thing I will say when we're at Climpin, no showers or anything there. We used to go over to Ford Aerodrome for our march over there once a week. Towel and soap rolled up under your left arm, always under your left arm, and swing your right arm. Just walk through the quarters of the staff of work, and they all had lovely pillows and sheets and always looking at it. I think, Christ, you know, I don't know how well off you are. They all have beds and sheets and white sheets and pillows, the RAF. But us sleeping four hairy blankets and a straw palliass and a straw pillow on the floor.
So what next then?
We went from there, from Rustington. We went then to, I think it was, where was it to? I think we went to Southend-on-Sea then to, it was Powerness Island. They used to do lots of anti-tank for the Beauforts and things like that, you know.
Do you know when you went there?
I actually think that was about May, June or something. May or June.
And what was this work they were doing? Or would it not affect you?
No, it never affected us. Okay. Never had any wireless equipment there. As I say, we used to do the telephonist duties at RHQ and things like that, and apart from that, and other odd jobs and anything it wanted to it, really. The signal section was attached to RHQ, 18 of us, and we were out on a bit of a limb there, really. But anyway, the guns there were training for anti-tank. They used to go to Foulness Island and used to do anti-tank shooting there. So from Climpin, we went then up to Southend, we went up to Waitscorn RHQ. In
where?
Essex. Waitscorn in Essex.
How do you spell that? Sorry.
W-A-K-E-S. C-O-L-N-E. Waitscorn up near Mark's Tay, up around that area.
So what were you doing there?
Well, the guns then were back on site. And
that would be about what month?
I think May, end of May, June, something like that.
Still in the same time.
Yeah, in the summer, yeah. And then we joined... I can't remember much about that. It was quite nice there. It must have been, about June or July. Everything was out in blossom. It was lovely there, peaceful and quiet, miles from anywhere. Then we were done a bit of driving there. We got some wireless trucks, our 800-weight trucks, and we did a little bit of...
What were the wireless... What equipment would you have on them? What were they like?
Well, nothing. Just had the wireless. We never had the wireless. No, he couldn't afford it then. He just... Just had the trucks that we used to go out driving and driving around, things like that, you know, and a bit of map reading as well.
What wireless set would you have in them?
Never had any wireless set.
Still
haven't got any. No, I'm afraid, you know, we didn't get any until we... Well, anyway, we go on. So we went there, Waitscorn, and then we joined 12th Corps. We got promoted from Air Defence to Great Britain. We got promoted as a Corps ACAT unit, 12th Corps ACAT unit. And we went on a 3-week scheme there.
Tell me about that scheme.
Well, I think it was training the moving masses of troops through the area, gradually down to the embarkation ports. You know, you went from camp to camp. We started off somewhere down in Kent somewhere, looking at Rochester around that area. I can't think of the name of the place now, somewhere around there overlooking. You could look at the naval detention barracks in the distance anyway and see them out. But anyway, we're there, then we moved on to somewhere else, and then you'd move to another camp and never had your own blankets, and you're sleeping in. You go to this next camp and sleep in a tent there. The blanket was always there. And gradually worked our way down, training. And the units in front, they got down far. Some of them got as far as getting on the barges and things like that. But that went on for three weeks that went on. You know, it was all living rough, as you might say then. Not so much for our benefit. I think it was for the powers that be, giving them, earning out all the... and then we got then a permanent camp, which was Great Bounds Camp.
Great
Bounds Camp. Southborough, near Tunbridge.
Southborough,
near Tunbridge, Wales, or Tunbridge, is in between the two.
And when did you move there, about?
Well, I think that was about August, roughly about August, I would think.
43, so obviously.
Yeah, August. So there then, they became... Corps artillery as opposed to Air Defence of Great Britain.
You said that was your permanent camp, was that?
That was a permanent camp, apart from when we moved, but we were always on the move. I think I went to 17 places in this country in 2 years, you can say, yeah. Me personally, with schemes and things like that. And there then it became the signal section got split up then to each battery. I became... Well, that was partly CO's wireless operator, and I also ran the control station, which...
What was your job as CO's wireless operator?
Well, I used to go, like, when he went out, not so much in England, but once abroad, I went out when he went off, like, round the sites or whatever he was doing, I went with him as his wireless operator, so that if they wanted him, they could get hold of him through me, then put him that way. That was part and part of, apart from that, if I wasn't doing that and we were running schemes, that I was running the control station at RHQ in touch with all the other 18 sets that were around, the troops and that.
But what did that involve?
Well, I was control, like, hello, all station, report my signals, fetch sunray and this and that, and give them orders, move to, or whatever it was, you know. I controlled the 18. Now, they all netted on to me, rather than me net onto them, put it that way.
And were you still just a signaller?
I was, then I got made up on the 17th of August to acting paid Lance Bombardier, which my pay then went up to 7 shillings a day, 35 pence.
Did it make a big difference, being a Lance Bombardier, you know?
Not in as much that, no, it didn't. I'll come to that later in some respects. I was still with... There was two of us made up. My other pillows, they got posted to North Africa, and I paired up with a chap from Harry Suckling, who was...
Harry?
Suckling. He was... he lived in London. And he became... He was older than me. He was a married man, but we paired up together, and he got made up at Lance. And he used to drive the CO. He was a wireless operator. He used to drive us, but I used to go as well. We used to go out in Normandy and that together. Anyway... It never made a lot of difference. The RSM Cowood could say to me, said, well, Denbury, you're no Lance now. If you get any trouble with them, they start taking a mickey. Don't be afraid to come to me and we'll sort this out once and for all, see? Because you change from being marched somewhere to marching other people somewhere, sort of business, you know, that sort of business. Swing your arms, don't hang about and all that sort of business. So I became, but... It didn't make any difference to the duties then, that way. I still did telephonist duty at RHQ and things like that. So...
Did you enjoy your new role?
I did. I didn't mind it, yeah.
Now, tell me a bit more about the wireless sets.
We then got 22 sets then.
Now, what was the difference between the 22 and the 19? What was the 22 wireless set like?
Well, I can't tell you much about it. They were a bit more update, I would say. They fitted well in. They fitted well on attached to a Jeep, or we also had 1500 weight trucks. It was a normal Warder's trucks. We had Jeeps as well, but they had their get one side of a hill and another one the other side of the hill, and you had a job to get anybody, you know. It was they weren't all that powerful, either. Right? So I'd say 15 miles, I think you're talking maximum, I would think. Yeah. But then again, the regiment won't spread out all that much, not. So if you take it, 15 miles is a long way for a regiment to be split out on sites and things like that. From there, I'd say, where did I go then? RHQ. We had several skiing from there. We used to run skiing. They used to run skiing from... Anyway, we're there.
What were the schemes about?
Well, it's deployments and things like that, moving it at night and roughing it, really. Used to do a lot of... I've done 2-3-day schemes. I remember one was about... I think it was January 44. It was perishing cold. White with frost it was. And we had one blanket apiece, and we slept out for 3 nights under the trucks and whatnot else. And then they used to have umpires out because it was skiing, and somebody would come along and blow a whistle, enemy attack. And then Bren Gunner. I was also Bren Gunner in the defence squad. I was Bren Gunner. So then he used to blow, and you'd go doubling over with your Bren gun, and then he'd blow a whistle the other side, Bren gun, and you'd go doubling back. It all seemed a lot of unnecessary hassle. I remember once like that, I was with this other chap, he was a Don R, Fred Buddy, he was a big chap, father owned a farm down in Kent, down in Sussex. Anyway, it was middle of the night, and the whistle goes off, Bren gunner here, so Fred and I, and then whistle goes the other side of the camp. Bren Gunner and Fred said at the top of him, tired and fed up and cold, bugger the Bren Gunner, he said. And that's where the RSM's boy said, I heard that, bud. Anyway, Fred was on a charge, and I don't know, he got 7 days or something. And the best part I had to go, he was about 6'3", me 5'7". I used to have to march him everywhere at night when he was going to his duties. But he wasn't no trouble. Big harmless. Yeah. We did several schemes. Like, a lot of night schemes we used to do. Put it this way, we'd done this scheme where we were trying, then we went to Clacton-on-Sea, a firing camp there.
Now, what do you remember of the firing camp?
Well, it was the guns again. They had the war. It was the Butlins camp there. We were stationed, but I caught Barber's rash. Barber's rash through sleeping in their dirty blankets. It was a heck of a load of...
Scabies?
It's Barber, you know, I had the
Yeah.
You couldn't shave or anything like that, but there was also, there was scabies and all. There was quite a few went in the hospital there. And
But yours was just a rash.
Barber's, And I went to Clacton Hospital there, Army Hospital. Lovely it was. I could have stayed in there forever. I was in there 10 days, no shaving. You used to go down for treatment every day.
How did they treat you for it?
Well, not very... Well, they ointment. What was it? The first 48 hours in there, I suppose it was a in front of penicillin, sulfur thiazole tablets, I think they gave me. And I was to take two of these every 4 hours for the first 48 hours. So it was 8, 12, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and the sister used to come round and give me the two tablets when I was in bed, whenever it was. I can't remember, but I would say it was 12 o'clock. But she won't give me the two glasses of water. She made me get out and go to the bathroom and fill two glasses of water up, drink it, come back. And I get in the bed because I was up to the toilet then one night at 4 o'clock. I just get off and she'd come back at 6 o'clock and I'd get out of bed again, me two tablets. So she wouldn't, not once, no, they wouldn't. So every time she made me get out of bed during the night. So anyway, I had them for 40 hours and just had cream on after that. And I got, after 10 days, I got to, the regiment had ended, moved back to Great Bounds Camp. So I got sent back then from Clacton. I had all my kit there. And that's the first time I got on the underground train in London, packed on a Sunday night with all the Americans there with their girlfriends. I got plenty of room because I hadn't shaved for 10 days. And I didn't look a very pretty sight, I must say. And then as soon as I got on the carriage, they all sort of staggered back there. And so I went back to camp. So we went, that was Clacton-on-Sea, we went there. And I don't think the regiment went anywhere after that. They were...
So you missed the firing camp anyway, but yeah. You wouldn't have been involved.
No, I wouldn't have been. So we had schemes then. We got the word, and I used to have to give lectures then. The sergeant Ormby lectured to the gun crews on the use of the word assess, why they were doing it, so they could be in touch, because a lot of them still thought in days of times of Donars and things like that. But they'd proven them, like the general use of radio and things like that. That was it.
In what way?
I'll give you several. Mind, this has got a couple of bits.
Well, as long as you don't say anything libelous, you know, I mean...
No, but...
It's just... One we're quite interested in what makes a good NCO and what makes a bad NCO.
Well, he was a...